This Bible talk, titled Now Choose Life, is on Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. It's the first sermon in our series Rescue on the letter to the Galatians, and it was given at Robina on Sunday, the 13th of February, 2022.
What is it about us that ignores warnings? What makes us think that it won't happen to us? Warnings exist for our good. Warnings are offered for our benefit. But like Adam and Eve in the garden, we see warnings as a restriction to freedom. We think we know better. We think it won't happen to us. Josh was a likable larrikin, the kid with a goofy laugh. Even if what he laughed at wasn't funny, the way he laughed made it funny. Josh was the first to make everyone laugh. He was always such a happy person. Every moment with Josh was a memory. But those memories ended with a tragic reminder. Escaping the heat of the Brisbane summer, the 19-year-old with his mates drove to the Sunshine Coast. A tropical cyclone had formed out in the Coral Sea. Despite the constant media warnings about dangerous surf conditions, the endless summer safety mantra continued to ring out, always swim between the red and the yellow flags. On beaches on the Gold and the Sunshine Coast, people were being plucked from the surf by lifesavers. Josh entered the water just north of Noosa at an unpatrolled beach near Tiwa. Josh went for a swim, got caught in a rip, got dragged out to sea, was never seen again. I heard about the unsuccessful search to rescue Josh. I read later online his body washed up at Noosa. What is it about us that ignores warnings? What makes us think that it won't happen to us? During flight safety demonstrations, we read magazines or play on our smartphones. We see the speed limit sign saying 50, but we keep our foot planted on the accelerator. The lollipop lady at my kid's school drives me crazy. Does she have any idea about the traffic congestion? We know smoking causes cancer, but so many Australians haven't quit smoking. We know that global warming and electricity prices are rising, but still we set the air conditioner to 21 degrees. Unvaccinated people are 24 times more likely to end up in hospital, but still the conspiracy theories abound. This isn't just bravado. It's characteristic in all of us. The faulty factory setting of human DNA are automatically coordinated to self-destruction. Apparently, warnings are optional for children too. You know what it's like to be a parent. Sorry, Dad, I wasn't listening. I thought you meant yes when you clearly said no. Your wife says that you work too hard, but your family hasn't holidayed since Kevin Rudd was Prime Minister, and that was the first time. The doctors tell you he wants to run blood tests, but you think you should get a second opinion because, in your medical opinion as a qualified electrician, you don't think it's anything to worry about. Your husband says don't worry, but your anxiety medication isn't working anymore because you've stopped taking the tablets. We think we know better. We think it won't happen to us. We ignore the warnings given for our own good. We do what we think seems right to us. Friends, that's the Galatians. That's the problem with the churches of Galatia. They're not swimming between the red and yellow flags. They are running all the orange traffic lights. During the safety briefing about oxygen masks and exit rows, they're picking their nose and looking out the window. They think they know better. They think it won't happen to them. And they're no different to us, are they? These first century Turks that Paul now writes to in Galatia, these Galatians, they are prone to wander as well. They are no different to us. We ignore the warnings intended to save us. Swayed by the tide of public opinion and emotional reactivity, we often find ourselves in the deepest oceans of trouble. And so Paul writes to the churches in Galatia, but this isn't your typical, warm, usually New Testament epistle, friends. It's not filled with potential memory verses and inspirational quotes for a desktop calendar at Koorong. Paul's letter to the Galatians is one great big warning. Six chapters, 149 verses, 3,243 words. So don't miss the warning. Here it is. See it for yourself. Paul says, stop choosing death. Look there, verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, not that there is another one. Astonished isn't, oh, wow, that's just amazing and incredible. It isn't, look at me, like me, follow me. Astonished means perplexed. Astonished means amazed. Astonished means scratching your head in disbelief. It's shock and surprise. It's eyebrows raised, mouth wide open. What on earth are you thinking? Have you completely lost your mind? Not to put too fine a point on it, friends, Paul calls these Galatians fools. Chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? But the gospel is God's good news for us. Good news about his grace to us in Christ. It's no longer about being good, no longer about trying to please God. But the Galatians, they insist on digging up the time capsule. They want to live in the past. They're trying to refloat the Titanic, trying to resuscitate a dinosaur. Like middle-aged men wearing surf clothes or women wearing gym clothes to go grocery shopping, they're trying to hold on to something that's long since finished. Your youth, your dignity, any remaining ounce of self-respect. They've heard the gospel of God's grace, but now they're being persuaded to believe otherwise. The Galatians want to resurrect religion, but the good news is that Christ is risen. That's why Paul preaches the gospel. That's why Paul went to Galatia, on a mission with a message from God, not trying to win friends, not trying to build his business. But not everyone thinks the gospel is good news. And clearly not everyone approves of the Apostle Paul. Especially those who are heavily invested in being good and kind and nice or decent. Especially those who are working on self-improvement. But the gospel isn't self-improvement. It's self-awareness. Paul knows exactly who he is. Paul knows how to relate to others. He isn't looking for local approval. Look there, verse 10. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I was still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. The ESV says Paul is a servant of Christ, but Paul isn't a servant of Christ. The word isn't servant, diakonos. It's slave, doulos. Paul is a slave, a doulos of Christ. And while that sounds like an argument from a thesaurus, there's a world of difference between being a servant and being a slave. Being a servant is what you do. Being a slave is who you are. Being a servant is instrumental. It's a measure of means. A slave is possessed, one who is owned. Servant is doing. Slave is being. Servant is an action or a posture towards others, but slave is a position of personal identity. Paul doesn't need the approval of others. Paul only seeks God's approval. He plays to an audience of one. If I was still trying to please man, I would not be a slave of Christ. Paul knows he belongs to God. I had a ministry friend say to me once, Mike, if you want applause, you should have joined the circus. And if you want everyone to like you, go and sell ice cream. But Paul speaks about the gospel. He speaks as a slave with all of the authority of God. The gospel has divine authority. It's God's good news for us about his son Jesus. God's free grace given to us in Christ. Look there, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. You see, the Galatians are undermining Paul's authority. They failed to recognize its origins. Not from man, not by men. It's not man's gospel, but God's gospel for all of men. Christianity isn't just another philosophical worldview, not simply an alternative belief system. Christianity isn't born out of human origin, look there at verse 11, but of divine origin when the divine was born human. Paul's apostolic call and apostolic gospel are authoritative, commissioned by the Father and the Son. God spoke this message to Paul. Paul now speaks this message to us, but don't just take my word for it, he says. Look there at verse 2. And all the brothers who are with me. Paul wants you to know that he's not making this stuff up. To reject the gospel is to reject God. You can't dismiss Paul's gospel as simply being idiosyncratic. It is believed, affirmed, and proclaimed by others. To ignore its divine origination and revelation is a denial of the resurrection of Jesus Christ itself. You see, there really is no other gospel at all. Look there at verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Paul received his gospel by revelation from God. And there's only one gospel promising God's free grace. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. And so any other religion, any other gospel, any other philosophy, or any other product is a denial of the resurrection and of God's authority. The result is God's eternal condemnation upon you. You see, rejecting the gospel means choosing its consequences. Believing another gospel is to be under the curse of God. The choice of any other religion or even no religion over accepting God's grace to us in Christ is the choice to go face to face with God himself. To face God's condemnation for your sins. To face God's judgment for rejecting his authority. You see, if the gospel saves us from God's judgment, but we reject that gospel, then there is nothing left to save us. See where you'll end up if you do. Paul even says it for you twice in verses 8 and 9 so that you don't miss it. Let them be under God's curse. It is an anathema, a curse to preach another gospel. It is a curse to believe anything different. And so if anyone comes to you and preaches another gospel, Paul says, don't worry about it. To each his own. Live and let live. As long as you're a good person. All roads lead the same way. All religions are the same. Wait, no, he doesn't say that at all, does he? See what he says in verse 9. If anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Paul says, no matter who they are, even if it's me, says Paul, no matter how convincing it sounds, no matter how convincing they sound, no matter where they've turned up here from, if it's contrary, then they are under a curse. They're dedicated to destruction and they will take you all the way to hell with them. Is Paul's gospel politically correct? No. Is it universally tolerant? Uh-uh. Is the gospel globally accepted? Not on your life. But I didn't come here to please other people. I'm here because I'm a slave of Christ. I belong to him. Can you see the dangers the Galatians are in, friends? They are playing with an eternal fire and they're no different to us. Because there's people out there trying to confuse them, offering them an alternative way of life and a way of living. The Galatians are in danger of ignoring the warnings. They are so confused they've already lost track of the time. Because the new creation is already here. Look there at verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace are the words of the gospel. They are words indicating the dawn of the new age. Grace freely given to all who believe in the risen Lord. Not simply unmerited favor, friends, but transforming power. Grace is the gospel. Peace is its gift. amazing grace because it is a gift that we don't deserve. Grace is so amazing that we even sing about it here. No one wrote a song called Amazing Karma because karma isn't amazing. Karma only gives you what you deserve, and that is not good news for anybody. There's a song called Instant Karma, but that's a reflection of our world's priorities, I think. Grace gives us what we don't deserve, and that's what makes it amazingly good news for us. But these Galatians, they are pondering a graceless gospel, a life where no peace with God can be found. So there's no peace in the Galatian churches, only confusion, disunity, and division reign. The gospel reconciles together in Christ, but human reason divides and destroys. No wonder Paul calls them foolish. Eyebrows raised, mouth wide open, scratching his head at them. Grace is amazing and it is freely given. But friends, please don't think for a minute that grace is not costly. Look there, verse 4. Who gave himself for us, for our sins, to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus gave himself for our sins on the cross. Your grace and your peace with God cost Jesus his life. See it there, Jesus died for our sins. God gave himself on our behalf. He gave himself in love for us. Paul says it this way in Galatians 2 verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. It is not for nothing that Christ died, is it? The cross spells the death of religion. The resurrection signals the new age. It is the dawning of the new creation, the fulfillment of all things according to God's will, the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy and promise. The word rescue, which speaks of the cross, is the same word used of Israel's deliverance from Egypt. God's rescue plan of redemption is Jesus. He is the fulfillment of the promise of the ages. Jesus is God's plan to save us, rescuing us from this present age of evil, delivering us from slavery to our sin by God's transforming power. God rescues us from this evil age and he delivers us into the age that is to come, which is the answer of the prayer of the kingdom, isn't it? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. To whom be glory forever and ever in verse 4 translates to him be glory for the age of ages. But a rejection of the gospel of Jesus is a catastrophic failure to recognize the time. The rejection of the revelation of salvation history is a categorical denial of historical evidence. Grace and peace and righteousness with God only come through the cross of Christ. It is a grace that is undeserved and given from a love that is unmerited. Friends, God, from whom we deserve nothing, gives us everything. That's grace. But the Galatians are enchanted with doing over being. They are bewitched by self-improvement. They are setting aside God's grace, forgetting the significance of the cross. But following a crucified Christ means being crucified with him. He who loved us and gave himself for us, we now live for, and he now lives in us. You see, friends, the times have changed. the new creation now here, Galatians 6, verse 13. But far be it from me, says Paul, to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. They're no different from us, are they? But it's this turning away to something different, turning to another gospel that is no gospel at all, the quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ, betraying him for 30 pieces of silver, disowning him before the rooster crows a third time, that I want us to consider together this morning. You can hear the warnings to the Galatians already, can't you? You can already see the danger of desertion when we ignore the warnings, when we wander away from grace. You know what happens. No doubt you already know other people who've done that too, wandered away from the gospel, never to be seen or heard from ever again. It leaves us with our eyebrows raised and our mouths dropped wide open, scratching our head at them. It is foolish to think that it won't happen or can't happen to you. When external and internal pressures start rising, when expectations get too high, when your future becomes uncertain, when anxiety starts to get the better of you, who you are in these moments is what matters most. Tell me, where are you turning to? Back to a world you've already been crucified to. An expired life that's long past its use-by date. There is no good news back there for you, my friend. It's astonishing to think that we would think any different. Because the new creation is now here. The old is gone. The new has come. Paul knows who he is. Paul knows the time. He knows the one who's called him by grace and the peace that now possess him, that hold him. A slave of Christ, a new creation. Crucified, you no longer live. The one who loves us and gave himself for us is the one who now loves you and lives in you. Friends, God, from whom we deserve nothing, gives us everything in Christ. That's grace. That's the gospel that we need to turn towards all the time. That's grace. It's where peace can be found forever and ever. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, it doesn't take much to knock us off course. A bump in the road here, a sideswipe somewhere else, and we are already somewhere off, veering towards destruction, turning towards other things that are of no hope or of no benefit to us. We look for answers in all the wrong places when you've already given us everything in your Son, who gave himself to rescue us from this present evil age, to rescue us from our sins, and to deliver us into the new age, the one that is to come. Would you help us this morning take a good assessment of where we are, of where we are with you, of what it is that we're looking for or looking towards? Help us to boast only in Christ crucified. To see again that we've died to the world and that we are loved and owned by the one who gave himself for us. Would you help us to own our new identity as slaves, that we might not live to please others or even ourselves, but rather we would live to please you and you only. Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace. Amen.